It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up tonight on the download, Talib Kweli is going to be here. He's at the City Winery on Saturday night. So awesome to talk with him. Hip-hop legend. He's a man who's was in the duo Black Star with Mos Def. Talk with him. Also coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Swap Meet. Greg Flamm will be back. We'll talk about your Chicago memorabilia and whether it's worth anything. Mine's not. As I was told emphatically by the texters that my skeleton key for all the CTA, I have a skeleton key that just opens any lock on the CTA, is worth nothing. Oh, come on, man. And there was a time before when before they went automated that that was probably worth more because you could turn the mic on and do the, coming up Grand Avenue, you know, that kind of thing. But they undid that when they did all the autumn. Now it's like, next stop, Clark Street. Like, there's no actual way to do that. But I'll bet you if I unlocked it, I'll bet you I could. So, all right. Well, my next guest is a professional wrestler, comedian, and podcaster, Colt Cabana. He grew up in Deerfield, wrestles all over the world, including a stint at the WWE in the late 2000s. He's currently the host of the podcast, The Art of Wrestling, where he interviews others from the wrestling world. Colt Cabana is a great spokesperson for the world of independent wrestling. And he's my guest tonight at the big table. Colt Cabana, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's a blast.
It's great to meet you.
What do you want, $40? I'll give you $40 for that key.
Stick around, yeah,
that's
sure.
Amazing. Right.
No, it's not for sale, I can't.
Not for, you won't take $40. Well, you have your price, though.
Yeah, it's from an uncle who gave it to me. He's like, you want this? Look at this. This can open any door on the train. Okay, thanks. Thanks, uncle.
A guy who worked on the train once gave me a CTA hat. And
oh, that's good.
I treasure it. I love it, you know. When you're like, for me, I live on the Blue Line. I've been traveling, you know. I take the Blue Line to O'Hare for the last 15 years every single week, and God knows how much money I've spent, you know. So, like, I have a real affinity for that Blue Line in the city.
I should give you the key just so you know, the one thing it does do, especially for that route to the airport and back.
Does it stop from going all the way into O'Hare,
the train? It shuts the whole train down. No, you can open up, like, the cars when they're shut, like, where, like, in the middle where they have the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
You can open up that and get in there and actually have a nice ride to the airport.
Wow.
Like, with your bags and stuff. And
I can ride shotgun.
Yeah, it's essentially private. So that's what this key can give you.
I might take you up on that.
So, yeah. Anyway.
That's my own Uber. Uber CTA.
You've been wrestling now for a number of years.
Yeah, I mean, 18 years.
But the podcasting stuff is somewhat new for you. Talk about The Art of Wrestling, because it almost is like the WTF with Marc Maron for wrestling.
Yeah, and I was on WTF with Maron, and, you know, since been on his TV show. So that was always a nice, like, stamp of approval, I think. And, you know, like, it's funny because wrestling's always 5 years behind the times. It's how it's always been, professional wrestling, 5 years behind the times. And luckily for me, I'm a giant comedy fan, as you know, and podcasting was booming in 2008, 2009, 2010, and I love podcasting. I was listening all the time because I travel all the time,
right.
And so you'd listen on your phone, and I couldn't wait for someone to start the wrestling version of wrestlers talking to wrestlers, because it was really nobody on the inside of wrestling was doing podcasting. It was only just, you know, people outside of the world of wrestling,
right?
So
fans, things like that,
yeah,
like fan podcasts. And there's a million of them,
and there's some great ones,
yeah.
And but that's a point of view that's been hit. Never has the point of view of an actual wrestler who's on the road, who's doing it, you know, 200 days of the year on the road, who's doing it like myself, then sitting down with the wrestler. So in 2010. Started the Art of Wrestling podcast, and I've been going strong.
Are you surprised at how popular it became? Because it's not only popular in how many people are listening to it, but it's almost become a diary for wrestling. I mean, your episode with CM Punk, you know, is legendary. It's just written up just this week by Nate at Splitsider.
Yeah,
you know?
Nathan Rabin.
But the idea of the popularity of a wrestler talking to other wrestlers about wrestling. Are you surprised at how big that's become?
Do you want the humble answer, or do you want the real answer? Man, you know, I was dying for that kind of show, and I knew people were dying for that kind of show. So to be honest, like, no, I knew that's what something that the fans wanted, myself including as a fan. Like, I only, and, you know, we'll get into the list of crazy things that I do, but I only do stuff that I would like if I was a fan. That's how, like, my marketing mind works. And I knew as a fan, I would love to hear these kind of conversations, and not like just straight up interviews, but just how we do it
right.
in the locker room. Because we were having these in the locker room.
It's a lot of sort of pull back the curtain type mm-hmm. stuff. And mm-hmm. and a lot of podcasts will be about the world of wrestling, about who wrestles who or who, you know, it's like we said, it's fan stuff. It's not wrestlers giving sort of a real sort of articulate intellectual inside look at the sport.
And my thing is mainly on the stories of these people, because I know I have a crazy story, and I know every single other person in the locker room that I've been dealing with, they have crazy stories. And it's a lot about the journey that we've taken, you know, the struggles, the triumphs. It's like, we do this job. It's kind of like the NBA. There's only 80 jobs on global television for wrestlers, and there's like 10,000 independent wrestlers out there. So everybody's going for these 80 spots to become a famous pro wrestler. And the stories that these guys have, myself included, like, it's nice to be able to document it. You know, I get a high out of it because I know I get to share someone else's story. It's almost, you know, not to say it's an unselfish thing, but like, I get to share my friends' stories that I know of, crazy stories that maybe fans don't know about. I get to share with the world.
Well, let's talk about your crazy story. Mm-hmm. Like I said in the intro, you grew up in Deerfield. What drew you to, I mean, you went to the crazy streets of Deerfield, Illinois. You played football in college. What drew you to wrestle?
Yeah, and Deerfield, you know, it's in the northwest suburbs. It's a nice hoity-toity, you know, town up there. You know, decent money up there. And nobody liked wrestling in Deerfield.
Really?
Yeah, nobody. Like, there was one kid in school, Mikey Mulfarb, he liked wrestling. And that was about it. You know, I loved it. And so it's all I ever wanted to do. And, you know, while a lot of people went off and they sell real estate and they're lawyers and they're doctors, like, I don't know, I couldn't imagine my life without, like, that's what I wanted to do. I loved wrestling. I was obsessed as a child. I was obsessed in my, you know, late teens when I became a professional wrestler. And it just seemed like,
well, what drew you to it? What were you obsessed about the wrestling? When you were watching on TV and absorbing it as a fan, what was it about it that made you obsessed?
It's hard, like, it's, you know, it's hard to say. Like, the answer's kind of changed over the years, because I really don't know if it was the sports or the theatrics or... I always say, like...
Or the cult of it, yeah.
Yeah, but I always say, like, you know, I'm 36, so, like, my childhood was, like, He-Man and Ninja Turtles, and, like, so, like, these real people were those kind of weird characters, especially in the WWF. Right. But then also, I played football and baseball and basketball, so I was... I really appreciated the athletics of what was going on. And so I think it was just, like, the mix of everything. It's really its own... its own animal, professional wrestling.
Well, talk about, I mean, it's one thing to be a fan of it. It's one thing to even obsess about it. But it's another to get into a world where you're going to chase it as a career. So talk about, you know, you said as a teenager getting into it. How does one start the process of trying to become a wrestler?
And televised wrestling, which we all see as a child. Or as an adult, whatever it might be, is completely different
of
from
course.
The independent scene that you start out. So you think about, like, a good example would be, like, you watch Saturday Night Live and you're like, oh, I'm just going to go to Saturday Night Live and be on set. No, it's like you're going to do a show at McDiddon's, you know, on Sunday at 1 p.m. when nobody will be watching. And for wrestling, you know, it's very popular in the South. So it's a lot like this. Hey, as a Deerfield kid, a nice Jewish kid from Deerfield, I'm traveling to Louisville and, you know, Cincinnati and Columbus, and I'm wrestling in barns and, you know, armories and VFW halls. And it totally took me out of my element, which I think made me the person that I am today, the well-rounded person. I think that I was able to kind of get out of that shell of the northwest suburbs and see the world, you know, in a different aspect through the eyes of professional wrestling.
At that point, when you're making those treks to the South and you're going to Louisville, you're going to other places...
Louisville. I learned that one quick.
I'm such a Yankee. but talk about, you know, at that point, I mean, are you already at the point where you're thinking, okay, I want to do this as a career. I'm coming up with my character. I'm developing who I am as a wrestler. Or are you just kind of going with the flow wherever you go, you go?
Like at that time, I'm in college still. But then on the weekends, I'm traveling all the way around. And I just never pictured myself as a WWF wrestler at the time. So I was just like, I'm just going to do this, you know, like, and which I think made for the best situation, because I didn't have I couldn't be let down that easily. You know, my look, it just doesn't look like a John Cena or a Batista or a Hulk Hogan or whatever. So I never really had the idea in my head that I could really make it. And I just wanted to learn my craft and learn my trade and learn, like, I loved wrestling. I was obsessed with wrestling, whether in front of 20 people or whether in front of 18,000 people. I just thought it was awesome. And I wanted to learn it, and I wanted to be the best I could as me, Colt Cabana, and who knew where that would take, you know, where that would take me. Like, when I got to go to London for the first time, I think it was 5 years in, and I got flown over to England. Like, I thought that was the peak of my career. Now I've been there 65 times, you know. It's just like, but that, I, you know, right, that first then, feeling, yeah, right. Like, to me, that was success, you know. That first time when I quit my job and I did just that, and, you know, I wrestled, you know, full time for $11,000 a year. Like, that was, I made it. I made it. $11,000 a year. I was doing it.
Let's pick up the conversation. $11,000 a year. We're talking with Colt Cabana, professional wrestler, comedian, podcaster. His podcast, The Art of Wrestling, can be found everywhere. Can be on Howl now as well. We'll continue the conversation here at the Big Table on the Download. Stay with us. It's a Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me at the Big Table, Colt Cabana, professional wrestler, comedian, podcaster, Billboard star, one-hour tease. If you're in Chicago, you know the cartoon. The cartoon that's with the one-hour tease is Colt Cabana, which is great.
I got to change that to a regular person, right? I want to be like the next Bob Roorman of Chicago. It's my goal.
You're on your way, man.
But I'm a cartoon. I got to be a regular person.
Well, it's like the Empire guy. He went to cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so it's like that.
That's a great call. I need my own bobblehead, yeah, if that's the case. I only say that because I have one at my home of the Empire Carpet guy.
Well, let's pick up with what we're talking about going full-time with wrestling, $11,000 a year. But what I'm interested in is not unlike a musician, or you mentioned a comedian. I mean, you sort of run the independent circuit to be able to get to fame and fortune or what have you.
You saw us when is what I usually say.
Is that right?
But it's been going from 18 years of you saw me when.
But I mean, for you, when you're doing that and you're playing in Louisville or other places, what are you learning about yourself? What are you learning about the craft that makes you a better wrestler?
Yeah, there's not a lot of people telling you, you know, because I wrestled in WWE and they have producers and money and there's so much behind it, and you're second guessing yourself a lot, and it hinders your learning capabilities, I think, personally. So when you're just a kid and you're doing it, like, you just, it's a lot of trial and error, and it's great. And I think, you know, the story of a professional wrestler, weirdly, is it's we're artists. And it's the same
performing
story.
Performing artists.
Yeah, perform especially.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of trial and error, and it's learning on the job. And then a lot of it, especially, like, I'd say in my youth, is we would watch it, or we would wrestle. We would grab the VHS tape of when, you know, of our match, and then we'd watch it back a million times. And that's a little bit of when the learning process also, but also there's just veterans all over, maybe guys who didn't make it and are still there, who at that point when I'm 18 years old are 35, 40 years old, they've been around, they've been on TV, and now they've come back and they like doing it, kind of like a softball league, if you will. And they're there to help you, you know? Like, those are some of the most important people in any job.
When you're on that circuit, are you paired up with somebody that you're going to wrestle so you can work it out and you can kind of figure out exactly how you guys are going to sort of give and take? Or is it kind of like boxing where you kind of pull the thing and you know who you don't know who you're going to box and that kind of thing?
It's a little from column A and a little bit from column B. You know, there's wrestling schools. There's a wrestling trade school. I trained Six Corners here, you know, on, what was it, Irving, Pulaski, yeah. You know, I don't know. And you know, and so there's a couple guys that came from our school, and then we would travel other places, and then we'd meet other wrestlers, and sometimes you would wrestle the person you trained with, or you'd tag with the person you trained with, or sometimes you just wrestle some other person from a random place, and then you'd quickly become buddies with them. And that's kind of how you know, speaking of the podcast, where I have all these wrestlers and all my friends from all over the world, it's like I have those wrestlers and friends from all over the world because I've made connections and networked with them. I was on shows with all of these guys who were stars at one, you know, who are stars, you know, became stars. And at one point we were just young kids hungry, trying to become wrestlers. So that's kind of how it's done.
It's fun to go through your bio and see the different kind of characters you've tried out. Mm-hmm. You know, you've tried to be different. You've always been Colt Cabana, but you've tried different, you know, names, different looks. When you're going through the independent, and even as a young kid, is that part of it as well? Like figuring out who your character is going to be, what kind of resonates with the audience?
Yeah, like Colt Cabana's been, I've done weird stuff. I did a masked character for the, you know, MTV show WSX. I play a cop for the Insane Clown Posse's wrestling promotion, and so on and so forth. But Colt Cabana, the name for the most part, has stuck. But yeah, the wrestler has evolved and changed over the years completely. And and for the good, because, you know, as you're learning on the job, you're learning what works, what doesn't work. You know, I'm a comedy wrestler now. I consider myself a comedian, and I do stuff on stage. You know, I heard you talk about before mm-hmm. the Edinburgh show that I'll be doing, and Marty DeRosa and I do stuff all over Chicago and all over the country, really. But I'm a comedian in the ring now, and that's from learning, you know, what I like and dislike as a professional wrestler. And there was a point where I liked doing comedy in a wrestling ring. And I was like, I want to see this out further. And that's where I evolved that character, probably 6 years into my wrestling career to become a comedian. And now, 18 years into wrestling, I'm known as the comedian in the world of wrestling. But also I've saved my body. Because instead of doing crazy crash and burns.
Yeah, exactly. If you were like, my thing is to jump off the riser and crash down, they call me Crash, you'd probably break every bone in your body every time you do it. But the comedian, you get away with a lot of jokes.
I'm telling physical jokes in the wrestling ring, and it's saving my body. It's going to give me it's going to prolong my career a lot.
Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, for the casual wrestling fan. And I would put myself in that category as a kid who grew up with it and the main event and everything in between. There always has been a split down the middle when we talk about performance art between the good guys and the bad guys, mm-hmm. villains and heroes or what have you. And you've seen it
the blue eyes and the villains,
right? But you've seen it sort of. They've done a lot of twists and turns when it comes to who's good, who's bad throughout the years. But was that a big part of what you had to decide to be? I mean, as a wrestler in the independent scene, do you have to sort of develop character around that kind of parameter, that paradigm?
Well, you want to hear the hustle part of it? Because I am. I'm a DIY warrior, you know. And when I decided to stop my job as a teaching assistant at Shepherd Middle High School, in Deerfield, and take on this full-time job at $11,000 a year, if I wanted to eat, I needed to make money. And as a professional wrestler, merchandise is one of the most important things for me in my job. You know, like, I'm putting on a performance, I'm learning the job, but then also if I want to do this full time, like, I need to supplement the no money that I'm making as a starving artist wrestler. And so, I was one of the first guys kind of on the independent scene who was really hustling hard with at the time it was VHS and then DVD and pictures and t-shirts. And to do that, you got to be likable. You know, no one wants to buy the t-shirt of the guy that's telling everyone they suck, you know? So that's kind of how my life worked, was become a baby face, become a good guy in wrestling, mainly because I needed to eat. I needed to pay my rent.
And it helped in the merchandise.
Yeah. And it's evolved in this total crazy thing is, now partnered with One Hour Tees in Chicago. We started this company called Pro Wrestling Tees, and it's based out of Chicago, and it's on-demand printing for wrestling t-shirts. And we've given away over $2 million in royalties to the wrestlers, which I think is
especially for a lot of wrestlers who may not be in the WWE. Yeah,
to
like
the
you
independent,
said.
non-contracted wrestlers who need this money to survive, supplements their income, and allows them to become full-time performers and not have to worry about going. You know, there's a guy going to a job. There's a guy, Kevin Owens, is a big star on television, and him and I did the independents for years. And when we started that company, he was able to quit his job at the factory, and because of the wrestling t-shirt money that was now coming in, and then he could concentrate more on wrestling. And, 2 years later, he's now one of the biggest stars in wrestling.
I mean, it's so interesting because a lot of people probably don't recognize that there are only 80 slots and 10,000 wrestlers. And you've made the allusion to comedians. I've done music, but you could say the same about other mm-hmm. sports. I mean, look at baseball and minor leagues and things of that nature. But talk about, you are one of the wrestlers on the independent level that has made a name for yourself independently. Mm-hmm. I mean, even your name in WWE, you played somebody else. I mean, you had to play a different character. You went in, and it wasn't something that, was like, they weren't necessarily like, Colt Cabana is here. You're almost like the Chance the Rapper of wrestling in the way that you have brought your independent style and your independent, DIY ethic and been able to make a career off of it.
And that means a lot to me, to get that to Chance the Rapper. That's what I'm going for. Yeah. A lot of guys do what I do with the idea that they're trying to make it to the WWE, and I'm doing what I do to showcase the crazy world that is the independent wrestling scene. And you hear it through my podcast, because I'll tell the stories, and you go through the archives, right, that are on Howl, and you hear when I went to India, and you hear when I went to Nunavut, which is the highest point in Canada, and I wrestled for the Inuits, you know. And you hear when I wrestle at Fat Camp, and you hear when I, you know, in a couple of weeks I'm going to the Gathering of the Juggalos to wrestle, and I love that. Like, the weirder, the better. I want to wrestle in the weirdest places ever. And I'm not trying to go to WWE. I'm trying to highlight how awesome this alternative, underground, unique scene is. And some people, you know, poo-poo on it, but I love it, and I think it's the best.
Well, let's take a break for the news. We'll come back, and I'd love to talk about wrestling around the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I would assume going to some of the places you mentioned, whether it be the high tops of the mountains of Canada or India, there are going to be a lot of different things that the stories that an independent wrestler, you know, getting in the ring in India is probably a trip. Mm. So we'll talk with Colt Cabana. He's my guest tonight here at the Big Table. He's a professional wrestler, comedian, and podcaster. We'll continue the conversation right after the news. Stay with us. Thanks, David. It's a download here on 720 WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the Big Table, Colt Cabana, professional wrestler, comedian, podcaster. His podcast, The Art of Wrestling, is a very, very popular podcast in the wrestling world. He's going to be part of the podcast movement, which is an annual event. It's a convention. It's going to be in Chicago this
year. Yeah, it's like it's kind of funny because it's a conference, I think.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, July 6th through the 8th, the Hyatt Regency, and I'm hosting the podcast awards.
Oh.
It's kind of funny because it's a conference, and like, you know, last year I hosted the awards in Dallas, and there's people there. I mean, it's like a business conference, but like, I've spent my whole career to have nothing to do with that lifestyle.
Everyone's got their shirt, their short sleeve shirt on.
And they're trying to network and they're schmoozing. And I'm like so uncomfortable and almost like, you know, I'm a bit of a pirate there. So it's kind of fun to be weirdly in that world now as I you know, like essentially I am a businessman, you
right.
know, with the 1 hour tees and pro wrestling tees stuff and the podcast and the wrestling and just everything, you know, the empire kind of that I'm building here. I guess I'm part of that world, but I don't feel part of
it. Well, so many people, I mean, it's funny you say that as your businessman because, you know, so many wrestlers, as we mentioned throughout this conversation, are trying to get to that WWE pedestal because then the business takes care of itself, mm-hmm. quote unquote. But the idea being that that's where the managers and the producers and the writers and all the people are going to tell you where to stand, what to say, where to be, what promo to cut. That's the business part. So for you to be the DIY businessman, to mm-hmm. do that at the independent, it is very unique.
And I want that. Yeah, because I, you know, long story short, I guess is, I had done 8 years on the independent scene. WWE, they grabbed me and they signed me, and I put all my eggs in that basket, and I was like, you know, let's go. I thought they were going to make me a millionaire, a giant star, WrestleMania, you know, blah blah blah. And when they fired me, I had nothing, and I it was hard for me to realize that, like, oh, I put everything into that, and somebody else just took it away from me. It wasn't me. It wasn't my decision. Someone else took. So that essentially that's what I've been doing for the past 7 years is building this. I hate saying quote unquote brand, you know,
right,
I hate
right.
saying it, but building the idea that I have all these projects and all these things that, you know, if one goes away, I'll still be safe. And also the only person that could tell me I can't do this stuff is me. And I'm not going to fire myself.
Did you when that happened? It was 2009 or so when mm-hmm. when WWE fired you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that was it? Did you was there any part of you that was like, you know what, I'm walking away. I got to get myself a collared shirt.
For you know, I put my resume on monster.com. That was as far as I went. And like I was like, I'm gonna ride this out. You know, I'm gonna ride out whatever bookings I have, and who knows. But at that point, I was like, well, I'm 30. No one's going to want a washed up 30-year-old wrestler. That's kind of my mentality. And now I realize that, like, really, you know, age, it really has nothing to do with age. And it's just, you know, I thought that for a little bit. And then once I started the podcast, once I started immersing myself in the world of comedy, you know, I started training a little bit at Comedy Sports and I started making friends with all these, you know, people in the world of comedy and listening to the comedy podcasts mm-hmm. and stuff. And I just saw this path that wasn't taken by any wrestler. And that's kind of what opened my eyes and gave me a new breath of air and kind of took me away from the idea that I'd have to then go use my college degree. And I don't even know what I would have done. Like, I don't, my resume was pathetic. It just, I mean, I have a college degree.
You're
but,
on TV, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what I put, I, you know.
TV star.
Yeah, I don't right? even know.
I'll be on The Bachelor.
I don't, oh, that's that could have the last, the last place I'd want to be. Well, the guy I went to high school with is now on a show on Fox, one of those. Hmm. I don't know. That's
like
art.
A reality show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he's the hunk of the week or something.
Yeah, and, there you go.
Yeah.
Deerfield stock.
Right? Yeah.
All right. So, you know, one of the things you mentioned before the break was about traveling the world.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to be a traveler or be into to go into different places, but talk about traveling as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, whether it be India or Japan or you know, any place in between, everyone has an independent wrestling circuit. Is it difficult for you as a kid from Deerfield, a Chicago guy, to be able to adapt to independent wrestling in, say, India or Japan?
I mean, it would be difficult. You know, last year I did 4 tours of Japan. I spent about 3 months in Japan, and I traveled all over the country with a group called Pro Wrestling NOAH. And, you know, had I not had the experience, it would be difficult. I don't speak the language. They don't speak my language. When I wrestle, I told you, you know, I was a comedy wrestler. I did a lot of yelling. I do a lot of, like, a lot of it is shtick with the audience. I love playing with the audience. I love talking to the audience. I love stopping a match and having a conversation with somebody mid-match. Like, you know, for the whole, essentially for everyone to hear. But it's always funny when, you know, there's 800 people and I'm just, me and this 1 7-year-old kid are having a conversation. Like, what's going on, right? So in Japan, it's a lot harder. But that's almost where the training, and that's almost where challenging yourself becomes, because I could go there and I could just be another guy, or I could go there and I could use the physicality of it and take one of my senses away, which is audio, you know, and I have to use everything else. And I pretty successful to be over, you know, I've done about 12 tours of Japan now to be kind of a fixture in the Japanese wrestling.
Is it similar? I mean, is Japanese wrestling similar to the independent circuits of the South?
I mean, it's not, but I think at the end of the day, wrestling, all of it is kind of international. You go in, you make a react. How can I make these people react in any way to, you know, to be happy, to be sad, to laugh? It's how can we play with these people's, you know, like a puppeteer? Like, mm-hmm. how can we play with their emotions? And sure, like, it's, you know, down south is a lot of, I don't know, you know, the stereotypical down south, right? In Japan, it's the stereotypical Japan. But, you know, when you break it down, it's professional wrestling and playing with people's emotions.
Well, I mean, there's so much rooted in the history of professional wrestling. I mean, obviously here in the States, you know, it saw its heyday in the 80s and 90s, even now. I mean, you could say that it's through the roof when, mm-hmm. with all the shows that are on the different cable channels. But I always think about international wrestling. I think of Mexican wrestling. That's a big thing that seems to have found its way into the pop culture here. And mm-hmm. even as we speak, it feels like, you know, there's going to be a show tomorrow or anywhere, a Mexican wrestling kind of show. Talk about the history of this performance art.
Well, I've done, you know, I wrestle for a company called Lucha Vavoom, who's based out of Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's a big show, yeah.
Big show. And I've done the show in Chicago. I've done it at the Vic. I've done it at the Congress, you know, before it went down. So we've traveled that one around. And yeah, so like Lucha has kind of came in.
That's a huge show. I mean, I have some friends who do that show.
Oh,
Frankie,
nice.
Frankie Vivid is a big, has been on the show, and Michelle L'Amour.
Of course.
But the concept being that's not just a, and that's what I love about it, is it's not just a wrestling show. It's a show.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of presentation and comedy and music and wrestling. So much going on.
And I think that's where it's moved to. And if you want the history of wrestling, right, it started in the circus and the carnival. And, you know, essentially it was to make money. It was a con. And a lot of people have held on to that idea of that con for far too long. And when you hear, like, is wrestling fake, you know, and you hear that question, it's like, ugh. And, you know, my thought to that is just, like, because people held on to the con of wrestling for so long and like wouldn't deny it for
right.
so long, that's why it's gotten
they kind almost of, disrespected the con in a way.
Yeah, it's yeah. it's gotten like a weird stigma. So now with the internet and kind of out in the open, like, hey, this is a show, this is a performance, we're having fun. And then when you embrace that, when you go into that and you just leave everything at the door and you just want to be entertained, now the wrestling scene has completely changed. And that's why the independent and alternative scene, I think, have blossomed, because you know, there's just there's different niches from everywhere of different aspects of like what you like. You know, I'll go to Glasgow and there's just, it's an 18 and over show and everyone's just hammered on Scottish beer, you know? And then you go to Mexico and it's just like, they want to see this completely different show, kind of with the same, with the masks and the, you know, they want the idea of like the old, but like in the new, which should be for everything. I mean, we're moving in a different way. I've toured, we talked about the crazy place I've been, and I've done lucha shows, and I toured the border towns of Mexico and Texas, and one of the scariest tours I have ever done.
Really?
The shows were ran by the mafia, the cartel, and they were like, oh, you're way safer. Like, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine here.
You're lucky there. You know, if they were ran by the police, you'd be done for.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, that's got to be part of it too. I mean, when you're doing independent stuff, how much are you? I don't know if worried is the right word, but how much do you sort of pay attention to things like security or the idea of whether or not this is on the up and up?
Well, my Jewish mother was worrying, of course, all of the time. Yeah, maybe she's the one to ask. But for me, yeah, a lot of stuff isn't on the up and up, and it's all, you know, shady promoters. There is, you know, there isn't a WWE or whatever it might be. There's paperwork and all of this stuff. These are fringe shows, you know. It's wrestling shows on the fringe, and a lot of it for me is like, I don't even care. Like, the weirder and the crazier, the more like scuzzy the promoter is, the better story I have to come back the next week and tell it on my podcast, you know. So I can get screwed over bad, you know, financially maybe. And like, I can cry about it, or I could be like, it's almost like a comedian. Like, I've got material now. And I could tell my audience.
It's good. Yeah. You're getting, you're reusing that that experience. That's good. Colt Cabana, my guest tonight here at the Big Table. He's a professional wrestler, comedian, and podcaster. His podcast, Art of Wrestling, can be found all over the place. Artofwrestling.com, also on iTunes.
ColtCabana.com.
ColtCabana.com. There you go. All right. So let's continue the conversation. We'll take a quick break.
Sure.
We'll come back. We'll wrap it up here with Colt Cabana. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest at the Big Table, Colt Cabana, professional wrestler, comedian, podcaster, Deerfield born, Chicago raised. Chicago, you still live in Chicago.
Wicker
right?
Park.
There you go.
You know, I travel all over, and it's just like, oh, get on that blue line, get off, and sleep in my bed for 2 days. It's wonderful.
Is Chicago a good wrestling town?
It's decent. It's getting a lot better. There's a company here called AAW, and they ran Berwyn for like 12 years, and now they're starting to run Marionette Park. Bourbon Street, which I went to a lot in my youth. Yeah,
right. It's like that mall kind of bar. Right?
Yeah. I feel like there's the two white crew. They play there every night. I feel. Do you know what I'm talking about? They play all the festivals. Shout out to Two White Crew if you're listening. And they're doing Logan Square Auditorium.
Okay,
now,
right.
And so I wrestle for a group. I'm wrestling for them July 23rd, Marionette Park. I'm wrestling for a group called Resistance Pro in Summit, Illinois, July 9th. And there's a group called Freelance that runs in the city too. So.
How often do you find yourself on the road? I mean, when you're talking about actual wrestling matches, how many are you doing a year?
I'd say I'm on the road 200 days a year. So in terms of matches, like, maybe 150, and then you throw in me staying an extra day to do some podcasting, or me, you know, doing a long tour of Europe or whatever, and there's days in between. So I'd say I'm on the road 200 days a year.
How do you keep your self in shape? I mean, I think about your, you know, we talked about it being a performance art, mm-hmm. but I mean, this is physical. I mean, this is the kind of thing where there's a lot of wear and tear. There's so many, mm-hmm. there's a lot of blood, and there's a lot of injuries. What do you have to do to keep yourself in shape to be a wrestler?
Yeah, and I'll talk to a lot of my like comedy friends, and they'll be like, oh, touring is so hard. And then they'll be blown away. They're like, oh, you're touring.
And fighting.
And then you have to get up, go to the gym, not eat, you know, McDonald's every day, right? Like, so, you know, the most important part is not eating like crap. I learned that, you know, about 2 years ago, I lost about 35 pounds from just being really strict on my diet. And that's one of the most important things, I guess, you know, just looking, you know, looking wise, you know, but, you got to keep yourself in shape. I'm at the gym, you know, whenever I'm home in Chicago, and I try to find some days on the road. And also, you know, here's one thing is that, like, I work at night, you know, and I have my own schedule. I've made my own schedule. I've made this career. I can make a lot. Sleep to me is one of the most important things. And I've lived this life where I don't have an alarm clock. I get up when I get up. I'm ready to take on the day. And I feel that's done a lot for my body.
Well, for you, I mean, you talked about, you know, 150 or so matches. How often are you hurt? How often are you
all
injured?
All the time. Yeah. Well, see, I only know my body. Like, if you stepped into my body, you'd be like, oh, how do you do this? You know? But I've come accustomed to my body. So, yeah, like, my neck constantly hurts. My lower back constantly hurts. You know, I think my knees, you know, are getting up there. But it's the only thing I know. So it's what I live with. And, yeah, it was nice to go to Japan and make a little extra money and come home and buy a massage chair on Craigslist. Sure. You know, now I could have a massage chair.
For all the years, I mean, for the 18 years of wrestling, I mean, are we talking broken bones, ribs, like knee?
Yeah,
like,
I've got a good list. Some chipped teeth, a broken orbital bone, two torn AC joints, torn ACL, torn quadrilateral. I think I bent my MCL, torn MCL. I have degenerative disc disease in my lower back. I'm pretty sure my neck is the grossest thing anyone's ever seen.
Well, I ask, you know, football players when they come in about that, about the idea when they grow older. I mean, are we worried about some of the physical ailments that they got from playing the game?
Yeah.
Do you think about that? Do you think about when you're 50 plus?
I do. I do think about that a lot. But then, you know what keeps me kind of like in check is I'll see a bunch of like 75, 80-year-old wrestlers, sometimes that I podcast with, like Bruno Sammartino, a legend in the world of wrestling. I did a podcast with him, and, you know, I think he was 82 at the time, and he was perfect. Like, you know, and I'm like, ah, he's walking around, and he, you know, even though he was probably the epitome of you know, physicality at his height, or at his, you know, the height of his popularity.
Yeah, right,
but
right.
There's a lot of guys that I see that are a little elder that can walk around and do it. So that scares me less, I think. Gives me hope.
What is it about? What do you think it is about wrestling that attracted you to it? Because, you know, I asked you that a little bit earlier, but now that you talk about even when the last segment we talked about the shady dealings and the weird experiences, what is it about Colt Cabana, about you personally, that you think attracts you to that mayhem?
So I guess, like, I think there's a little bit of like this weird independent spirit maybe in my family. And like I said, I come from Deerfield, which is a pretty like stereotypical town of when you think of Deerfield. But my dad was this clothes salesman who was really like a hustler. And my mom has like a really funny sense of humor. And so, like, I always, you know, I thought they were always a little bit different from the town that we came from. And I assume there's a little bit of that spirit like in me, you know, and I think, you know, I liked wrestling for what I liked wrestling, but now the life that I live, I think, you know, it's just, I think that's kind of, I think it's maybe in the genes. You know, my brother is an animator in Hollywood, and we both have these, you know, my parents, they have their friends in the North Shore, and they're all talking about their jobs, and they're always like, well, one of our sons a pro wrestler, and the other one draws for a living, you know? So, you know, definitely.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's very successful at what he does. But two very unconventional jobs.
Well, they both sort of play towards a childhood, the idea that, you know, you're doing something that our childhood loves.
Mm.
I mean, drawing and wrestling are things that kids really gravitate to.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, maybe there's something in that, yeah.
Like a Peter Pan syndrome of some sort. We don't want to let go. And if you saw the way I live, I have not let go of my childhood.
Well, what's next for you? I mean, obviously, are you going to keep this up where you're doing 150 matches? You said you're 36 years old.
Yeah.
At what point do you say, you know, I'm going to transition out of the tour lifestyle, DIY tour lifestyle?
So I have a show on Howl.fm, which is the Netflix of podcasting.
Yeah.
I have a storytelling show on there called Pro Wrestling Fringe. And one of the stories I have is about a guy named Les Kellett. And in the story that I tell, it's called Laugh Till It Hurts, is the one of the stories that I have. And I talk about one of my favorite comedy matches of all time. Les Kellett versus Leon Harris, 1974. Les Kellett is the number one draw in England. People are coming from all over to see him, making money hand over fist, 58 years old. He's 58 years old. And so when people ask me, wait, at 40, at 45,
right, right.
You know, you look for examples you look for people who have set the way where you can say, look, you know, and maybe I don't even need that, but there's a little bit of Les Kellett in me that says, if he can do it, I can do it. When, you know, there, when there's a will, there's a way, you know, he's someone that, that it's possible to be done. So I've set myself up with a good life, you know? So, you know, like, if I got out of wrestling, I'd still be doing, you know, perfectly okay with podcasting and pro wrestling tees and 1 hour tees. So I can easily transition and into, you know, into comedy and television. You know, I did a show of Marin. I did the Chris Gethard show.
Right.
I'm touring the comedy show with Marty DeRosa, and I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So I can easily transition out if I wanted to. But wrestling has me. It's the being in the ring. Especially almost like not being on non-televised shows where I could just do whatever I want. And I was in Ireland this past week, and I just did this whole thing where I took the referee shirt off the referee, and I brought in the 7-year-old kid who everybody knew his name because he comes to every show in Belfast, Ireland. And I put the referee shirt on him, and like, just, it was all improvised. It was so amazing. And I was just, after I did that, I was just like, that's the high.
Right.
And you can't do that anywhere else. So like, I want to do that, you know, as long as I can. And that's what I love is for everything that I'm doing, it's still professional wrestling in the ring on these weird shows where I have an audience and they're looking at me and they're listening to me and I get to perform and kind of tell my jokes through professional wrestling. It's got me.
Professional wrestler, comedian, and podcaster Colt Cabana. In studio tonight. The podcast is The Art of Wrestling. You can also find him on Twitter at Colt Cabana. Also
Instagram.
All over the place.
Vine? I'm on Vine.
You're a Vine guy.
I had a Vine that went viral.
Viral.
Yeah, 10 million loops it had.
Oh my gosh, there you go. So you got a lot of options here.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Colt Cabana, thanks for being my guest tonight. Appreciate it.
I had a great time.